Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price means something to you, means everything to them. It's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills at Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. Bob Buhner alongside today.
Hey, Steve.
And Kevin LeGarrette Blount, Ahmad Brooks, also alongside. Let's go out as a group and bond. Oh, I don't want to. You aren't my kind of people.
No, I definitely think there's more information there than what I said.
Yeah.
Bob, do you feel like we're being snubbed?
Yeah, I think that's a word that comes to mind. And, you know, yeah. Steve, I'm just thinking, yeah. Now, what kind of a steak were you planning on having at this dinner? Because, you know, there's just lots of different types of succulent, juicy, good-tasting steak in the Lewisburg area.
I know. It's like you're talking about a strip might be great.
A little filet, maybe.
London broil, something outstanding. Meanwhile, you know, I mean, Kevin could be enjoying the same culinary delight, you know, maybe tune out the company, but still could
he could be there.
He could be a part of it.
Yes.
He has been asked to. We will take our informal poll of the audience, and I know which way they're going to go, at 800-795-9565. How would you feel if your coworker snubbed you? All right, let's bring in Jeff Hartman, never snubbed, and hopefully Jeff will make it to the end of the segment and not walk out.
So they took care of business, and they took care of it quickly. How important was it that they looked around and said, look, this kind of influence from LeGarrette Blount is not needed at this time?
It was very needed. I was actually surprised that they released him. I was expecting a one, maybe two-game suspension, because he does have some value on the roster, more so with if an injury occurs to Le'Veon Bell, but he does add some value. It's just that his attitude just seems to be horrible. And this is not news to anyone that follows the Pittsburgh Steelers or even the NFL. The guy's on his fourth team in 5 years. He had his issues at Oregon, obviously, the punch heard around the world after the Boise State upset. But even in training camp, he was almost getting into a fight with Joey Porter, who's now an assistant coach, and different players. It's just something that I guess Mike Tomlin and the coaching staff had said enough is enough, and they're going to move on.
How tough is it that he pulls a stunt like this at a point where people should be feeling pretty good about what they did last night?
Yeah, I think that might have been the most shocking thing, is not that he did this, because it's been done before. Randy Moss in 2005, even Dez Bryant in 2013 did it. But it was the fact that the team had come back and the team had battled back, and the way that they ran the ball. And I'm sure that's a point of frustration for him because he's a running back. But yeah, your teammates out there just having the game of his life in the National Football League, and you're basically in the locker room, I think speaks more about him as a teammate than it does as a player, and I think that's ultimately what led to his demise.
What fueled the comeback last night? What did you see that allowed them in that spot to avoid a Jets, Buccaneers, Titans exacta?
I think that watching the game, it just seemed like the team realized that they changed things up, and they went to the running game as a way to get pressure off of Ben Roethlisberger, and then all of a sudden they started gashing the Titans with a run. And I think that was the biggest difference. And the Jets obviously have a great running rush defense. And the Tampa Bay Bucs have a great rush defense too, believe it or not. And I think those two games, they were not able to use the run to set up the pass. And they were able to do that. And they just made some key plays. And key plays that weren't necessarily LeGarrette Blount. He's on my mind. Le'Veon Bell in the running game, but Marcus Wheaton caught a big third down pass, so did Lance Moore. Ben Roethlisberger scrambling on, I believe, his third and two, maybe third and three, and getting a first down. It was a gritty performance, and that's the game that they've been losing, and they pulled out a victory. So a lot of people won't give it a lot of credit, but I do, in the fact that they've lost these games a lot in the last 2 years.
Is there a more complete back in the NFL right now than Le'Veon Bell?
The only person that I would say that could come close to him is LeSean McCoy, who obviously the Pitt product, and now with Philadelphia. His ability to run passing routes, to catch the ball from the backfield, and then to still run the ball hard in between the tackles. I don't think people realize, like, he's not one of those guys that has to get on the perimeter or on the outside the tackle box to make big runs. He does it through the inside or the interior of the line. And that's large in part because of Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro. If you watch that game last night, those two and Heath Miller were pulling and just opening up some huge holes for Le'Veon Bell. So, complete bass, I have him at the top of my list. Maybe I have my black and gold glasses on. I think LeSean McCoy is the only guy. Matt Forte would be in that conversation, but I don't think he's at that level.
Zach Mettenberger certainly is a young but talented quarterback, and I think over time could grow into being a very good quarterback. What did he do to the Steelers last night that would bother a Steeler fan, or should bother a Steeler fan? Because that was not exactly Tom Brady over there.
No, I think that the biggest issue, I don't think it was anything that Mettenberger did. He completed the passes he was supposed to complete. And having starting off the way that he did, his first pass of the pick six, that's got to be tough. But he showed some mental toughness in that aspect. But I think also they didn't get pressure on the quarterback. And that was more frustrating as a fan watching the game than anything. I mean, Mettenberger is a sitting duck. He's not mobile. He has a big arm, but he cannot move. I think, if anything, Pittsburgh Steelers fans have to be a little concerned with the fact that this guy went untouched. And it was the first game since week two against Joe Flacco that the Pittsburgh Steelers did not get a sack on the quarterback. So that's an issue with this team moving forward for sure.
This was considered to be the soft underbelly of the Steelers' schedule over recent weeks, and they didn't handle it perfectly. Now they have a tough stretch coming up. In fact, percentage-wise, of the four teams in the division, they face the toughest schedule, 56% down the stretch. How concerned are you? And at the same time, how relieved are you by what they did last night?
I am very relieved by last night. Definitely, I'm very relieved based on the fact that they struggle against teams that it definitely looks like they just overlook opponents. And what you've seen this year is that teams that get their attention, you look at their next game in 2 weeks against the New Orleans Saints, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs coming in, all these teams they play, the Cincinnati Bengals obviously twice, they're going to get their attention. And I actually have some solace in the fact that they typically play well against those teams. So I'm hoping that trend continues and they're able to put together a few wins here, because I think the 10 wins could probably win this division if I had to guess.
Or at the very least, it puts you into the playoff. And as the Steelers well know, it doesn't matter where you're seated. If you're in the tournament, you can win it. Simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. They've done it before.
Yeah, exactly.
Avast virus database has been updated.
I'm sure it has been. And, Jeff, now they get to this stage. How important is it at this stage? Well, they have a bye coming up, I believe, right?
They do have a bye week this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a plus for them at this stage to set them up for the stretch run, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that what you're going to see here is that the Steelers are finally, especially defensively, I mean, knock on wood, they've been very healthy offensively, but defensively have been ravished by injury. Sources are saying now that they're expecting Troy Polamalu to possibly return after the bye week, Ryan Shazier to return from his ankle injury to solidify that inside linebacker position, Ike Taylor, who broke his arm in week three, should be returning to help a really struggling secondary. And Steve McClendon, their nose tackle, should be healthy after the bye week. So this is what the Steelers needed. I mean, you talk about bye weeks and when they're set up, when you look at the schedule, you like the fact you have a late bye, and boy, did it come at a good time for this team.
Yeah. Just very quickly, in terms of being banged up, everybody's banged up at this time of the year. Do you think the Steelers, though, physically are in a little bit better shape than some teams are at this stage?
Well, awesome. offensively, no doubt. I mean, yeah. Ron, I mean, honestly, they really haven't had an injury on the offensive side of the football. And you have those key players that if you lose that player, they could be completely, you could basically write off the season. You talk about Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, especially now that LeGarrette Blount got released. Your depth chart is definitely out of whack on those positions. So you look at it and you say, look, hey, thankfully, we've been very, very healthy at those positions. So hopefully that trend continues. And I do think that all in all, the defense has been dealing with issues all year from the injury standpoint. It's only going to help their experience. It's going to give guys more time to get in there. And if they do have an injury, those guys have played and they know what to do. So I think they're pretty. I think they're okay in terms of the injuries.
Any thoughts initially about what they might do for the backup running back spot and who might be available in the waiver wire that would be attracted to Pittsburgh because they'll need somebody else to fill a spot?
Well, they have Harris, who's on their practice squad, who played pretty well. I think it's Josh Harris, I believe, is the name from Ohio State on their practice squad. He's an option. Obviously, Dre Archer's already on the roster. Ben Tate was just released from the Cleveland Browns this week. I'm not sure if that would be a viable option for Pittsburgh, considering they're saying that he was disgruntled about his touches. Would you want to bring in another guy that's basically doing the same thing over here? Other than that, I honestly haven't scoured the waiver wire too much looking at potential guys to bring in, but it's someone that can fill in for full carries here or there. So I think there are some options out there. Who that'll be, we'll probably hear soon, whether or not they're going to bring in someone internally, promote someone like Harris internally, or if they're going to go out in free agency.
Interesting. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much. Appreciate the time, as always.
All right, no problem.
All right, now I didn't ask about the dinner thing.
Thanks, I appreciate that. But I forgot about the Ohio State running back being on the practice squad. That's interesting.
Yeah, Heron. Yeah, Danny Heron. He's a good little running back. I mean, he's not ultra quick or anything like that, but he has pretty good running back sense, without question. I know Bob. We need to get the audience involved, and we'll talk about everything in a moment. We'll come back. How would you feel if one of your coworkers snubbed you? 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. The snub hotline is open on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant, Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance of service and price means something to you, means everything to them. 800-795-9565. Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Great to hear from you again.
Well, I was wondering, first of all, before I knew all the parameters, I thought maybe, you know, the significant other told him that he had to things to do. But then when I found out some more of the particulars, right, I thought, well, maybe those guys in Sealands Grove are going to buy him burgers and stuff.
No, that's this Friday night. This Friday night.
Yeah, well, the next Friday night, you know, I figured he'd be where his missus wants him.
No, it's the sports season. She doesn't see me until March, and she's fine with that.
I can tell
get
you.
Away,
no
get away, get away, get away, huh?
She wants him out.
Take a hike, Jack. Oh,
that's right. It's exactly right. It's awful.
Well, and then I heard the steak and stuff. Well, I'd have gone along.
See, they never told me it was steak. Dave. They said I was going to have a garden salad and stuff like that. So, they didn't tell anything about steak. That changes the whole thing.
Bob and I are trying to bond here as a group. We feel it's a great experience for three co-hosts who are supposed to be projecting on the air a closeness family kind of atmosphere. And obviously, two are on board with the concept, and we have a rogue shark.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Steve, if you'd have heard this morning, you'd understand why.
Uh-oh. This doesn't sound good.
Well, the global warming and all that other stuff came in. It got pretty testy, didn't it, Kevin?
Well, no, I it's an interesting conversation. It's just I'm not completely sold.
No, but what do we call them, people?
What's
morons
that?
And jerks and
no. There wasn't any of that going on. Not this particular time.
Yes, there was that guy that called it. Come on.
Yeah, well, all right. There was one person that called in that had a couple of comments. I was going to say, not by me, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's, if you don't agree with him, you're a moron and a jerk, period.
No, I missed that one.
Yeah. You know, it's all vice. I called in, and I don't know who was there or whoever would pick up the phone for you. But I said, well, just run a couple of things by him, and that guy went on and on, so he couldn't get those atoms in anyway. So, but I just said, no, I didn't know what the particulars were going on with you and the bonding going on there. Well,
that
just kept my nose out of it.
Oh, no. I'm honestly, Dave, we're trying to bond here as a group. I mean, we project on the air a family show. I mean, Bob and I obviously understand the concept and feel like family.
Exactly.
And then there's the sheep.
Yeah. Well, you know what you need. That's
the family.
That's what that staff's for. I mean, the crooked handle to pull them in.
We're hoping that the stake would draw him in, but
I don't know. Oh, not the stake. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I look at a different stake when you said that.
All right, Dave.
Okay.
Thanks so much. 800-795-9565.
And Steven, news of concerning other sports. Last night, Bucknell, went out to Michigan to play the Wolverines.
Right.
And they
Irvin had a good night.
Yeah, they looked starstruck when they got there for the first half. Second half, a pretty strong game by the Bison. Chris Hawes scored about 11 points in 50 seconds at one point. But, you know, I think this young Bucknell team got out there and started looking at the arena, and, boy, there's a lot of seats in here. And
well, you know what? They've done a great job with that place. It is, to be frank with you, when Dave coached there as an assistant coach, that place was not a great place. And it was not. It was actually, I think, one of the bottom two or three places in the Big Ten until they poured about $90 million into it. Now, Dave Brandon, the former athletic director at Michigan, can certainly get a lot of criticism for certain areas, and people have criticized him. They can't criticize him for this. What they did with Chrysler Arena, which was built in 1967, the house that Cazzy Russell built, essentially, they poured that money in, and it now looks like a $90 million building. The lighting is completely different in there. The seating is different in there. The auxiliary basketball gym, which they had never had before, the offices, everything that goes with it's incredible. But the bottom line is, Michigan, with a Caris LeVert, a Zach Irvin, guys like that, you know, this is a team that, you know, you're talking about like LeVert, Skip Albrecht, for example, they not only played in the national championship game, they both played well in the national championship game. So it's just a little bit, at this stage, Bucknell's experience level doesn't quite match the talent level of Michigan. Now, maybe, you know, 2-3 months from now, it might be completely different. Just in November, it's just not quite the same yet.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, well, and for Bucknell, the road doesn't get any easier. You know, they go out to Michigan, road trip, you know, jetting out and back. And now Thursday night they've got a nationally televised game on the CBS Sports Network with Villanova. Gee.
Right. I mean, very tough. But I give Dave a lot of credit. Dave strongly feels that the best way that his basketball team is going to get better is by playing better competition. And he doesn't want to go out and build up some sort of false expectation and record with his team by, you know, there's certainly plenty of games in the non-conference they can win.
Sure.
And there are also going to be some games where, hey, look, if we play our best ball, we can win. But at the same time, he wants them to go out and play the best because he feels they're going to get better by playing the better teams. And I think it's smart.
Yeah, this is a game that may pay dividends come late February.
I think you had to schedule a little differently when you were in the Patriot League as opposed to how you schedule maybe in a Power 5 conference.
Sure.
In a Power 5 conference, for example, let's take Penn State, Power 5 conference. They go out, play a couple games, games that they bought. They're going to go to Charleston. That's a really good tournament there. You have USC, Miami, which just beat Florida last night. They're in the tournament. South Carolina's in the tournament and so forth. Akron, Drexel. And they open up with Charlotte. Okay, so that's a really good tournament, good spot. Then they come out of that, they'll have Akron back here. Then they go to Bucknell, which is something they should have done years ago, and I'm glad they're finally doing it. I think that's smart. That's great scheduling. Then they have the ACC game, which is going to be Virginia Tech. They hit the road and play Marshall. Then they have Duquesne. Then they have a really, really good opponent, George Washington, on the 14th. Then they go down and play Drexel down in Allentown. Drexel's always good. Then they have one with Dartmouth before they get a break. And then they open with Wisconsin in the Big Ten. Okay, if you want to know where Wisconsin is ranked, start at the top. It won't take you long to find them.
You don't have to go down the column very far to find that name.
No, you don't. They are outstanding this year with Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Jim Jackson's son, Trayvon. Really a good-looking basketball team. Koenig off the bench, scoring points for them. It's a good team.
And, you know, they have a coach that won't lose a game for them.
Oh, Bo. No, Bo will not. All right, we'll come back. Steve, Bob, and the Rogue Shark.
Sunbury Motors Ford is going to make sure you don't feel like a turkey when you buy your next new vehicle. Like always, all prices are clearly marked. Nothing hidden, just plain low prices. Sunbury Motors has 30 2014 F-150s that must go this month to make room for the 2015s. Save up to $8,000 on Supercabs and Supercrews. Sunbury Motors has 14 Ford Edges with $5,700 off or $3,200 off plus 0% for 60 months. Hurry in to claim your brand new Ford Edge. Sunbury Motors still has a great selection of 2014 Focuses with $4,700 off or 0% for 72 months. Makes getting into a new Focus more affordable than ever. If you're going to buy a new Ford, why wouldn't you buy it from the dealership who has been satisfying your customers for nearly a century? Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Ryan Kaiser continues to make great progress, which is great news. And LeGarrette Blount quitting and getting fired. And Le'Veon Bell just may be the second greatest running back in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise.
You know, Jeff Hartman said something I found really interesting. He was surprised as well that he got cut right away and not fined or something along or suspended for a couple of games. And he kind of said something that sounded familiar, that there's more to this story than just one particular incident. Oh, wait, I think I said that in the first half hour.
Yes, you did, as a matter of fact, and I tell you right now that I don't care if he did nothing before. If he did that, I would have looked at him and said, over there is a cab, the airport is about 5 miles away, okay? You make $3.9 million over 2 years, find yourself about $700 and get yourself back to Pittsburgh. You're no longer a part. I'd have cut him in the parking lot.
I don't disagree with you there either. I'm just surprised the Steelers did that. I have no problem with the decision they made, and I have no problem if they decided, if this were the only incident, that if they were to suspend him for a couple of games. But, again, you're getting paid a lot of money whether you play or not. It's not like this is a performance thing where if you play, you get paid. If you watch the game on the sidelines, you don't get paid. Name one football player on the practice squad that wouldn't want to get a paycheck to watch the game from the sideline.
But again, while he's showering, what if something happened to Le'Veon Bell?
That's a great point.
Well, I mean, they would have gone to Dre Archer. His job is to be ready to go in at a moment's notice. I mean, what if something happened? Nothing did, fortunately, for that great young running back. But still, that is, this is a team game. It's not LeGarrette Blount's game. It's a team game.
You also see how successful the football team was running the football. I find that interesting as well.
Well, that's probably why he's upset. He probably thought he could get in there and really chew up a bunch of yards. I mean, I understand that. I'm sure he was thinking as the game progressed, in a situation like this, they're trying to put the game away back to the Carolina game, because in the fourth quarter, he was the running back that did the ground and pound at the end. And they never even turned in his direction, and justifiably so, because it turned out that Le'Veon Bell, in conjunction with that offensive line, they were hot, red hot. They had the ball the final 7 minutes of the game. But what he did was incredibly, incredibly unprofessional. It is something that, again, if it's me and I'm the coach, he doesn't make it out. I mean, if he's sitting on the bus, I call security and I tell him he is to be removed from the bus. He is to get himself a cab. He is no longer a member of the football team. I would have cut him on the spot.
You know, this has to be one of the more bizarre moments in the storied history of the Pittsburgh Steelers for a guy just do that. That's just, but I think I tend to agree with Kevin on this. This guy must have had some locker room issues and clubhouse issues, and just one more thing after one more thing, and finally it's just, this has got it. This is just enough. And you wonder what that does for the rest of the team if the Steelers didn't do something.
By the way, Jason Johnson doesn't quite get it on Facebook here. Kevin Herr, if you're getting snubbed by your coworkers, I'll invite you over for baby back ribs. Okay?
And that sounds like a tempting. That sounds tempting.
Jason, you don't seem to understand. Bob and I have invited him. Yeah. He is snubbing us.
No, but I like the idea. Baby back ribs sound good right now.
Okay? He is the snubber. Okay? We are the snubbies.
So, Jason, where are these baby back ribs at? Now
that does bring up another topic, because Bob and I have very little pride, and we'll go over.
Yeah, we'll go to Jason's place for baby back ribs.
You're going to serve baby back ribs. We're going to become real big pains.
Well, hey, we'll even bring
Jason,
the.
How are you?
We'll even bring the napkins and the wipes, for heaven's sakes.
Absolutely, we'll stop over at the Acme. We're great. We'll take care of it.
You were talking about the Steelers earlier, Steve, and one thing I was surprised about is it doesn't appear as the Steelers have a ban on social media during the season. And I found that interesting, because
very few teams do.
Yeah, I just assumed there would be some sort of a ban. I know I hear players tweeting a lot about different things, but usually not back to fans or people that direct tweet them. And Mike Mitchell did that the other day. To one of his online critics. My question is, why do you even give a response to that?
Yeah.
I've said that the entire time. Why bother responding? Look, I'm not, as everyone knows, okay, we have a Twitter account. It has my name on it. And Kevin uses it to tweet out, you know, what guests are going to be on and things like that, or a game's coming up or something, okay? But I don't use it. Nor will I ever use it, especially not to respond to somebody. I'm not going to sit there and respond to me. I don't care.
No.
Well, and I don't. Right? I understand if you're using it. I mean, if you're promoting yourself as a player, I guess I understand that. But again, if you get a comment that is negative, why do you tweet back? I understand you want to keep connection with your fan base, and that makes sense. But sometimes you just don't recognize certain things because it's not worthy of being recognized.
Well, of course it's not worthy of being recognized, and I totally agree with you. That's why I think you should ignore everything on social media.
Steve.
In all seriousness, I ignore everything that's written about me. All right, I always have. And the reason I have is I don't want it influencing one way or the other how I do my job. I'm not saying I'm perfect at what I do, but I, I have a way of doing it that I think is the right way, and I don't want somebody who doesn't know how to do my job to tell me how to do it.
Steve,
even if they love it, even if they love it.
Yeah, Steve, who's your toughest critic?
Me.
Exactly. Do you need to listen to a bunch of brain-dead clowns with nothing to do tweeting different things? No. I think the real pros of the world.
If they love it, Bob. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I understand if you want to keep connection with people and you know, somebody says, hey, you know, I thought
Kevin,
it sounded great.
I
don't mind that.
Oh, the number of people that walk up to me and say something nice is exponentially high.
Oh,
and you know what I mean? And look, you just say, thank you, I appreciate it very much. And the whole thing, all right? And it's great that people think you're doing well. But at the same time, I don't walk out of there and go, oh, yeah, I'm doing great.
But I don't know
Because I can tell you every mistake I made on Saturday verbatim. Verbatim.
I don't know what was tweeted to him, but I know his response was, LOL, I'll do no such thing. You, on the other hand, kill yourself. When does a comment like that go through your head and go, this is worth tweeting. I'm going to tweet this. No wonder why the Steelers banned him.
Hold on a second. I may change my mind on that.
I mean, no wonder why the Steelers said you're not doing this anymore. No, really? That's a great idea.
Well, you know how I feel about it to begin with. It's too much. I'm for freedom of speech like anybody else and so forth, but I can see, for example, here's the value I see in Twitter. Something happens, you want to get something out quickly. You're at a press conference, you're tweeting out comments at a press conference, and and to the people who have, you know, who are your friends, subscribe to it, whatever, are all getting the information as you get it. Okay. I mean, as a news source, you know, a quick here we go, breaking news, blump, and you tweet something out. Tweeting out, love bacon and eggs every morning. Really?
And by the way, I do blame the person who tweeted him as well. The obviously what appears to be a negative comment. That person's just as at fault in this for actually doing that. Whatever happened, if you can't say anything positive, don't.
Well, this year, Patrick Chambers, for example, is allowing his players to use Twitter during the season.
Wow.
He's allowing it. He had not allowed it before, but he decided that, okay, I'm going to trust people. Well, if I'm going to trust somebody, I'm going to let them then have the freedom to do more. And that's why he decided to do it. I mean, it's, you know. Brian in Elysburg. Hi, Brian. How are you today?
Okay, Steve. It's great to talk to you again.
Great to talk with
so
you,
happy
too, Brian.
To end my Nittany Lions get back in the bowl. And just one quick question. What do you think about the play of Brian Geyer on the offensive line this week? And if you could do me a favor, yeah. I've been trying to get on the website to ask, during the show with Coach Franklin. Can you ask him that question for me, too, if you can, when you have the next show?
About Brian?
Yeah, about Brian Geyer.
Just so you know, James will not be on the show tonight, but I think we're going to have him next Tuesday night. And I will absolutely ask him that question. I'll absolutely ask him
thanks.
That question for you.
I'll be listening to him next week, bud. And everybody have a happy Thanksgiving out there. Let's go Nittany Lions the rest of the season. Thanks again, Steve.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Brian. We're very thankful to have great listeners like you. Thank you.
Oh, you better believe it. And I'll see you next year.
Sounds great. Brian Geyer, by the way, I think has really come on and has played awfully well. You look at the touchdown run that Bill Belt made, the 92-yard run. The impetus of that starts up front with a double team between Wendy Laurent and Brian Geyer that kicked out the nose tackle completely. They then brought Jesse James, who had been in a wing fullback spot, across in that hole created by Geyer and Laurent, and he kicked out the linebacker, and that the hole was wide open. You watch Brian play this week against Temple, this past week against Temple, you can again see the improvement. And I don't think it's any coincidence, Brian, that what you're seeing now, when you went back to March, the two guys that were going to be the cornerstone of your offensive line were going to be Miles Diefenbach and Donovan Smith. Finally, in the first quarter and the second series, they were in the game together for the first time all season. And I talked to Miles about this on Sunday, and he said, I looked over at Donovan and gave him that look, and he gave me that look back, old times again. And now that puts Smith, Diefenbach, Mangiero. Now that left side solidified. Andrew Nelson has been coming on and playing better. He's back at the right spot, which will be great for him. And then Brian Gaia, I think, has been the biggest beneficiary of this. Now he can just take care of his own business. He is physically, in terms of pure strength, he's incredibly strong. And I think he's starting to run a lot better as time goes. And you're seeing him. There's so many times, I think, if you listen to the broadcast on Saturday, where I called his name as the guy that was out front with a lead block. That's where he is right now. I think that's the kind of improvement he's made.
Sure. And one thing I'll just say real quick is that I heard the start of the talk show last week when you had Franklin on. And I was very sorry to hear the passing of Judy Best. And back in the day, I could call Joe Paterno a lot. And I remember all those callers you were saying at the beginning of the show. And I did have Judy on Facebook, and I left a message for her, and I was very sorry to hear about that. Well, you take care now. God bless you, buddy. Take care.
You too. Thank you so much. That was very classy that you mentioned her. All right. We will come back with more in a moment. Bob Buhner, Steve Jones, the Snubbed, along with Kevin, I'm Better Than They Are Her, on News Radio 1070 WKFK. Okay, so Bob, Kevin's going to be a sideline reporter, and it's going to be 80 below zero on Friday night.
Yeah, all of a sudden I'm doing a game at Mile High Stadium. I don't quite understand.
Yeah, he's going to be down at Johnstown at the War Memorial.
Yes.
Which,
Are you going to be a Point Stadium, or where are you going to be?
Richland High School.
Oh, Richland High School there, yeah. Oh,
Richland High School up in the hill. You're going to be down at Jack Hamland.
Yes, yes. Hey. Does he want to meet for dinner?
Jack's going to be with me Friday night.
Like I said, does he want to meet for dinner?
No. And this time you're snubbed.
Kevin's going to be down in Johnstown. It'll be about, I think it'll warm up to minus 80 degrees.
Let me see, for example, what is, just here in State College, what's it going to be on Friday? I think it's actually going to, I laughed when I saw the forecast for tomorrow. Forecast for tomorrow said, not as cold, 28. I'm like, are you kidding
man.
Me?
Not as cold as what?
Yeah.
31 for a high, low at 20, and Johnstown's worse.
Yes. Johnstown is up in the mountains a tad.
You get that right.
And it just never warms up there. You know, there's a lot of complaining by Seals Grove fans, and I think they have a great point. Somerset High School is the Seals' opponent Friday night. That's about literally 20 minutes away from where Richland is.
Just so you know, it's 14 in Johnstown right now.
Oh, it's warmed up.
Well, here's the problem. Because because there are few AAA schools in that section of the state,
right.
They kind of merge six districts almost together. I think it's actually five districts together, and come up with a tournament.
This looks awful.
And then they merge, and then they have them play the District 4 champ.
26 for a high with a low of 18.
Wow. I guess when you're going to be going down with Ryan and company Friday, you're going to need a dog sled team to get into Johnstown.
Hey, you know what would be great, though?
What's that?
We could get a sponsor to put their label on an ash can, and Kevin can stand around it during the game.
Actually, I'm more than willing to wear logoed clothing if I have to stay warm.
Now, for Sealands Grove, for example, they go into a game like this. They won 6-2 on Friday night. They beat previously undefeated Jersey Shore. And it's a tough blow for Jersey Shore, obviously, but this is all part of the process. They're not going to advance and take on a team that they, you know, until they saw tape, had never seen before. Until the coaches finally saw tape, I'm going to guess Saturday or Sunday, have never seen before.
Yeah, Somerset.
I mean, that Right. That's where playing, this is the time of the year where playing your game really has a deep meaning. Playing your game and doing what you do well. Right. This is also going to be a case where they're not going to have, for example, Jersey Shore played Sealands Grove in what, week 8? There are very few secrets between the two at that particular point, because this is the second time you played in what, a 3-4 week span. You might put in a wrinkle here and there that maybe they didn't see the first time, or an adjustment here and there they didn't see the first time. But this is a case where your level of familiarity with the personnel, of watching them on tape, in terms of watching them in actual practical application, is going to be completely different. And so I think you get to this stage with unfamiliarity, you have to do what you do really, really well and not worry too much about what they do.
You can really out-coach yourself if you start worrying about a team you've never seen, know little about, and you have some tape to follow, which can really sometimes be deceiving.
Right. Well, and it's, for example, I mean, there's certain things you need to look at. For example, all right, are they an option team? How do they run the option? Are they a team that wants to throw? Are they a shotgun team? Things like that. Some base stuff where when you look at them, you say to yourself, okay, we played X earlier in the year. They remind us of them. So what game plan did we have against that? All right, and that's, you know, and that's how you have to go when you have a short period of time against somebody you know nothing about. There's no way on the planet the Sealands Grove guys, until they found out Saturday or whatever it was, we're playing Somerset. Okay, find me a tape. Where's a reel of film anywhere? Something. There's no way they know. And I think it comes down to, especially with you, just do what you do best. If you blitz well, then blitz. If you're a team that runs the ball well, then run it. You just out-execute them. There's certain base things. Okay, for example, they say they run the option. Well, of course, you're going to have to put your option defense out there. That's how you play. You know, base stuff like that. But in terms of knowing personnel, you know, this guy, you know, you may have a roster that says height, weight, things like that. But, you know, you can sort of see on tape, on a DVD, how they move. But, you know. That's why, for example, Penn State plays Illinois coming up this week. All right, well, you know, Illinois was here last year. All right, well, I've never seen Lunt in person before, and I've never seen Dudek in person before. But I've seen Hardy, I've seen Ferguson, I've seen Young. I mean, I know their personnel. I know, you know, I've seen Monheim, you know, Bentley and so forth. So even as an announcer, I've seen their personnel. There's no guesswork in it whatsoever. There's a little more guesswork in this beyond base concepts as to what a team runs. When it gets to halftime, Kevin's going to throw a lot of people out of the way and get the first interview.
That's right. That's my entire purpose for being there, is to get the halftime interview.
And then thaw out for the rest of the game.
Right, and then I'll spend the rest of the time in front of the Heat Jets. But I think the low
is going to be 18.
Well, one of the things, I'm hoping the heat seats will be out and BTUs will be up on the heaters. But one of the things Bob was pointing out.
Excuse me. Yeah. You're going to Johnstown, all right? You're not going to the Meadowlands.
I know, but there's, with every new day, there's fresh hope.
Okay. Again, you're going to Johnstown. You're not going, okay, to FedEx Field.
You don't think they're going to bring those little outdoor blowtorch-type heaters?
Repeating once again for the hearing impaired, you're going to be up on the hill at Johnstown.
I thought you were going to say, repeating again for the wishful thinking.
Yeah.
All right. We want to wish you the best.
I think most of the people in Sealands Grove are just upset they have to travel 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's a long trip. That's too long for this.
Yeah. It's...
Again, this is the part that bothers me about how it's all done. They need to regionalize this as much as possible. And you can't play games. That's one. This thing takes too long. December 13th is going to be the last championship game of the year. I'm sorry, but I find that to be insane. This is too long. I mean, the state has to do a better job with this. It starts with the PIAA.